good afternoon. You've got Living Writers on WCBN FM Ann Arbor. I'm T. Hetzel, and I'm so happy to have here in the studio with me Aaron Helmrich, Stephen Postema, Thea Eck. Thanks for being here today, crew. It's good to see you to talk about art and community. And we've got Jason behind the glass, JAV. Stephen, you chose that song for today's show, The Dawning of the Age of Aquarius.
I chose it from his list.
From his, yes, okay. So thanks, Aaron, for choosing it, and Stephen for providing the list.
Sure.
What's the song mean to you? Because I could tell you were listening.
Well, when we get into it, the book that I'll talk about covers 1963 to 1977. Growing up in Ann Arbor.
And this book is Running Around Town, an Ann Arbor memoir out with Fifth Avenue Press just this summer, 2025.
It came out on August 1st.
So you talk about this song in your book.
Talk about the song and what it meant to me when we left Ann Arbor for a year, ended up on the streets of Berkeley, living in a camper and having to deal with the sort of sordid side of living in the age of Aquarius when you live on the streets in 1969 Berkeley and have to worry about the Zodiac serial killer.
And what age were you when you were
10?
10. That's you were a youngin.
Right.
You were a youngin. When that gives the song a whole different twist to it, I must say. I was thinking this feels like a quintessential Ann Arbor song, but now if we can see the dark side.
It feels great. It gets me worried.
It gets you worried.
Yeah.
You're conflicted.
Yeah.
Well, it's thanks for being here, Stephen,
sure.
and thanks for being here, Aaron and Thea. To introduce everyone, I'll start with you, Aaron. Aaron Helmrich is joining us today here in the studio down underground where all good things are at WCBN from the Ann Arbor District Library. And you're here today, Aaron, you're wearing kind of two hats. One to talk about the Ann Arbor Community Book Fest, which is coming up this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Are you excited?
Yes, very excited. We've been talking about it for so long, and then it's always nice to see it come to fruition.
And you and Emily have been working on it together.
Yeah, we partnered with what was formerly the Carytown Book Fest board for a year or two, and then they decided to sunset last year, and so then the library took over the event entirely.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get into that a little bit more. Thanks for starting us off. And then today also, Stephen Postema is here. We just got to hear about like a glimpse into his book, Running Around Town, an Ann Arbor memoir, out with Fifth Avenue Press, which is the other hat, I should say, that Aaron is here wearing to talk about Fifth Avenue Press. When did the press start, Aaron, just so we have...
The press started in 2017.
So it's still a baby press, but it's growing.
It's growing. This group of books that's coming out, we have 5 books that came out in 2025, is our 65th titles.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we just hit 65.
And is it going to be a regular thing that 5 moving forward is the number, or does it depend on the year?
It totally depends on the year. Last year we had 9 books. So it really, as we've said with a lot of our authors, it just depends on how long their books take. And so, you know, we like to have a gathering, you know, I think 5 is about the least that we've had at the moment. We've got about 5 in the pipeline for next year.
Oh,
so,
exciting.
But the number does change.
Okay. And then also here at the table with us, with Aaron, Stephen, is Thea Eck. Thea, welcome.
Hi, thanks.
I've been wanting to talk with you for a while now about Cluster and Cluster Museum. Cluster has been in your mind and heart, I think, the idea kind of growing for a while, but it's in the world now here in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, finally. I feel like it's been something that many of us artists have discussed for many years in terms of having a more cohesive group, and then it's finally here with the physical space, and we opened in October.
Which is amazing to have a physical space, because it seemed like in the summer you were talking about Cluster more in earnest and gathering people together And now, like, on North Main Street.
Yes.
There's the Cluster Museum.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, we'll hear more. Oh my gosh. We'll get to hear more, mm-hmm. definitely. And you have an event, an opening, knock on wood, this Friday.
Yes. We have a solo show of artist Matt Schlein, who lives in Ann Arbor and shows nationally and internationally. And we're having a solo show of his work on Friday from 6 to 9.
Oh, and I hear that you have a resident DJ. WCBN's own Manin.
Manin Desai. Yeah, he's great.
So, and he'll be there spinning songs as well.
He will be. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, great. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks all of you for being here today. It's good to see you on this cold November day. You're warming things up, definitely. Well, so Erin, let's talk a little bit about the book fest.
Yeah.
A little bit more about it. So because I did know that Carytown was where it, like, in my mind, I always felt like it had its, like, roots in Carytown and in that area, the outside farmers market area, mm-hmm. and some local establishments there.
Yeah, the last time that the Carytown Book Festival happened was 2018, and the library actually participated. It was our first year under belt of having Fifth Avenue Press, and we were outdoors. And, you know, I think outdoors is tricky. And so they took their own break in 2019. And then, of course, COVID. Forced to have a break. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm trying to think at this point, if it was 23, they had a year where it was at WCC, which was a little unusual because it was still the Carytown Book Festival. And so that was sort of when we first, you know, participated and did a lot of programming with them. And then took on having them be in our space while we were still working with their board. And so then the library started hosting it for the first time back downtown in 23.
And the library, we are just so lucky in Ann Arbor for our Ann Arbor District Libraries. Certainly our downtown central library is just a focal point for so much. Letterpress, the secret space downstairs for art.
Secret lab.
The mm-hmm. secret lab. And then just having a central place that's located within downtown that all the public can come to. It's just so critical.
Well, and BookFest is one of many what we call our expo events. And in fact, mm-hmm. you mentioned the Secret Lab and Letterpress. Saturday is our printmaking festival. So that will be happening, you know, in our downtown lobby space, which we, if you, you know, haven't paid attention, everything in the lobby is on wheels. So that we can move everything out. And
you have so many different space designs.
We call it our lobbytorium. Mm-hmm. That's when we finally put in, you know, a real sound system and a lighting system. And we're like, okay, at that point, we were not approved to get a new building. And so we were having to make do. And so the lobby.
The screen with art?
Exactly. Yeah. The mm-hmm. screen. We have a giant screen that, you know, we use for many of the events, but it constantly has a bunch of local artists, you know, work up on there that we do regular call for artists. So there's lots
so it's
and
never
lots
empty.
Of expo. Exactly.
It's always going to be showing someone, one of the people from our very own community and their mm-hmm. art.
And so when we kind of joke when we slowly but surely, you know, partner with lots of orgs and sometimes end up taking over when they decide not to do it anymore. We have such a good formula for these big expo events with lobby, you know, with vendors and people tabling, and then there's learning sessions, and so BookFest will be the same way.
Yes. Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, I've been to some of your expo events, mm-hmm. and it's so lively, and there's so many people in there and movement, and you can just see how people are loving being there, whether they're a vendor or whether they're walking by and stopping at the different tables. Such a good use of space, accessibility.
Exactly.
People can move around mm-hmm. still easily.
Well, and what we love is you can walk in and you can't ignore that there's something happening.
You cannot. If you're walking into the library, you are suddenly part of the event. Yes. Right. Well done, Erin. Yeah. I like that. That's a super smart space design.
Yeah. You come in. I mean, you know, there's people that walk by and go, I don't know about that. I don't need to know. But there's a lot of people that go, what's going on? And then,
well, thank goodness for the big windows,
exactly,
too, on the street level.
Exactly.
That's so helpful to get people in. I know recently I was there for a friend of the show and sometimes guest host Amanda Yulee's reading with other local writer Davey Rothbart, also friend of the show. And it was so great to see the community come out to support both Amanda and to see Davey.
I was unfortunate. I was sad to miss that because I really am excited about Amanda's book. And then just to show community, her husband's book, Frank Yulee's Cinema Ann Arbor, was Fifth Avenue Press publication and was one of our first books that really
won a
Michigan Notable Book Award, and it was shortlisted for the Alice Award, which is a design award out of the East Coast. So, you know,
And the press, you are the ones that are doing the book layout. Because Frank Yulee's
book design.
Is, I don't know if you all have had a chance to see it, but it's a hefty book.
Yeah, it's a coffee table book, surely.
And it's so impressive with the amount of research that Frank did. It grew from what was going to be, like, I think, a 1,000-word essay and then became this, like, this tracking of film history out of the university, like students having groups and clubs to watch films, some of them which people said, oh, you're not meant to watch those,
right?
But so Fifth Avenue Press is doing some exciting work.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was our first partnership,
obviously,
you know,
with Stephen's book too,
yes,
here
of course,
on the table.
Because the University of Michigan Press actually took care of the printing, because that is one of the things that's unusual about our press, is that our authors pay for their printing most of the time. And sometimes it's print on demand, meaning you're not coming out of pocket. But with a book like that, it needed to be something that was a little bit bigger. And so that was a great partnership because they could handle, you know, taking on the printing. And it was beneficial to both organizations.
And it seems like the library, from even the short conversation here, Erin, you've talked about partnering and collaborations. And so the AADL, it's sort of one of it feels like your values, like
Absolutely. Looking
into the community and partnering.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, you know, it's so funny. I mean, it's a small town in so many ways, because once you start, you know, connecting everything, you're like, oh, wait, I know that person. They're married to this person, or I used to work with them. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that's been really great about the press is sort of closing in that community, and then in some cases having them meet each other. You know, people, some of our authors are newer to town. And so, you know, that's been great for them to get to know other people locally as well.
What other books do you have? Because we've mentioned Stephen's Running Around Town and Ann Arbor memoir. What other books on the table?
So we have another memoir that came out in May called Phoenix Girl, a memoir, How a Fat Asian with Bipolar Found Love by Michelle Yang. And she has done a tremendous number of local events, just like Stephen has. And also, you know, because she lived in Arizona, she did her own book tour in Tucson and Phoenix. She also lived in Seattle, where her husband, she loves libraries so much, he proposed to her at the beautiful downtown
the
Seattle
downtown
Public
library. That's a library,
yeah.
too. That's,
yeah.
Come on,
yeah.
Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
Let's raise our game.
And she definitely wanted, she's such a library booster that she wanted her book to be with our press. I mean, that's one of the things that resonated with her so much. And then also we have a novel called Music for Evenings by Gerald Siclavan. Very unusual nonlinear book that has his original artwork, or a friend of his original artwork on the cover, and a photograph. And then two picture books came out this year, The Story of the First Popsicle by Ariel Ojibwe, who works on campus, and Stephanie Bobbich is the illustrator. And this one is lovely. It is about a young man named Waboos, and he discovers during a freak snowstorm that you can take popsicle or pawpaw fruit and make them into the story of the first popsicle. So it's an indigenous tale, too, with a lot of Anishinaabe Mohan words in it, and we're really pretty happy with it. And then the last one is a picture book based on one of the aerospace engineering labs on campus called Rugged Racks, Little Satellite That Could, by Suzanne Jacobs-Lipshaw. And it's a hardcore science book with, you know, all about these weather satellite projects that happened on campus.
And it's a picture book.
Yeah, we're really excited about it.
I love that you don't often hear a hardcore science book, picture book together. That's brilliant.
And it was definitely a fun challenge to find an illustrator because, you know, we had to find someone who could handle sidebars and all of the different ways that you're going to tell a science story that's very different from a traditional picture book.
And the illustrator is also from Ann Arbor.
She's actually not. She currently lives in Mauritius. in the Indian Ocean. But she is American.
I haven't heard of that Michigan town.
Yeah, no.
Nice that that's what I was thinking.
I'm not entirely sure the story, but she has lived abroad in many multiple locations, but she has a Seattle home base as well.
So, of course she
does. So sometimes we have hyper-local illustrators. Sometimes we have to look further afield, depending on the topic.
I love the idea of like bringing it back to hyper-local or local illustrators, because we're so lucky with the artists, which we'll hear more from with Thea here at the table, and with Penny Stamps, the students coming
through
there.
We have a current book that we're working on right now with a professor at Penny Stamps who's doing the illustrations.
Who is it?
Bill Burgard. William Burgard,
nice.
Who did a lot of the posters for the Ann Arbor Art Fair over the years, and he has a very collage style. So it's going to be a picture book inspired by the old Detroit Tigers player Mark Fidrick.
Wrong.
Or Rich. I keep saying it wrong. I'm not sure which. And that's partially because of my own last name. Is it C-H or a hard K?
Well, that's another mystery to be solved. We'll see. We'll take a short break. And then when we come back, let's talk to Stephen Postema about his book, Running Around Town, an Ann Arbor memoir. I'm T. Hetzel. We've got here in the studio Aaron Helmrich, Stephen Postema, Thea Eck. We've got Jason behind the glass. We'll be back.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, I'm so glad you did. Today on Living Writers, we've got Aaron Helmrich, Stephen Postema, Thea Eck, and me. You've got me, as usual, right here, T. Hetzel and Jason Voss behind the glass. So that song, thanks for sending the songs, Aaron. That song also figures into your book, Joy to the World, Three Dog Night, Stephen, in your book Running Around Town, an Ann Arbor memoir.
Right. There's a chapter in there about sixth grade where I went to a Lutheran school, and I convinced the substitute teacher that song was a Lutheran song, and we could play it for devotions. And she asked me a lot of things about, you know, I love the ladies. And I said, no, she couldn't hear very well. I said,
Lutheran.
I said, no, it's you know, I love the laities. It's Martin Luther, and this is all about, this is all about the Reformation, really. And so she just let me go. And
how old were you? Did you say
sixth grade?
Yeah. So. And then. And you're such an honest child, young man, and like you have a wonderful relationship with the libraries, a more honest, good fun.
So in the 60s, the library was, and it still is, but was really important to families. We went twice a week religiously. It was always.
And this is your chapter 36,
right?
Stephen.
You go to the library. You go to the library after the Y, and your hands are all crinkled, and then you go on Saturdays, and you can only get 7 books, and so...
From swimming, Stephen? Hands were crinkled?
From swimming, but yeah. I've got a chapter that's sort of an homage to the library, because when I was younger, I really spent a lot of time, how can you get more than the 7 books allowed? And so I memorized all, you know, who are the ladies behind the desk that would allow you to take out more. And it even drove me to think about getting a separate card under a different name. And so I spent a lot of time. How many books could you get out of the library? And so chapter 36 talks about that. It talks about the bookmobile, and it talks about my real desire to get into U of M libraries, just to be there and feel smarter by looking at the students. And of course, you had to get by the guards and you had to do all these things. But it was an obsession with libraries. And
how old were you then when you were going into all the university libraries as well?
I would say by that time, maybe 12 to 15 years old. You know, we weren't vandalizing. We weren't stealing things. We were just getting in and enjoying being around the books.
It's so wonderful. Yeah.
Just for the record, there's no limit to what you can check out now. So
yeah.
I was going to say, my kids take out so many books at a time.
I just say the limit that you set for yourself, for your parents, or what you can carry.
Yeah, but you know, if you do set a limit, it really causes creativity on how to get additional books. So think about that.
It's true. And ways to get back sooner, too, sometimes.
So chapter 36 is about the Ann Arbor libraries, but it's also about when I had seen a thing in a magazine that would teach you how to read a thick novel in 1 hour, a speed reading course. And so it defeats the whole purpose of reading. But I got interested in this, and I told my then girlfriend about it, and she almost, freaked out.
Well, Stephen, I'm going to read your short bio, as is a tradition here on Living Writers, from the back of your book, Running Around Town, an Ann Arbor memoir, out now with Fifth Avenue Press. Stephen K. Postema is a graduate of Ann Arbor Schools, Harvard University, and the University of Wisconsin Law School. He served as the Ann Arbor City Attorney from 2003 to 2022. He is a practicing lawyer in downtown Ann Arbor, a mediator. Sorry, I almost made you a meditator, Stephen.
Well, that too.
Mediator and a writer and speaker on legal topics. The summer of 1976, he ran on every street in Ann Arbor just because he wanted to.
That's right. I get obsessed by something. I gotta do it.
And the cover image. This is you, then, isn't it? And that you chose for the cover of your memoir.
So the press had a really good graphic artist, Nate, and he really liked this picture that is in the archives of the Ann Arbor News, and it's from the October 6th, 1975, so 50 years ago. It's the front page of the sports page when they really covered a lot of local sports, and it's a picture just that depicts not the glory of running, but the hard work of running. So it's from the Pioneer High School cross country course.
And this is you.
That is me. Yeah.
I like that, and it's like it's got AA on the shirt itself.
That's right.
So it's so lovely because there's so many, like we call A2 AA. Like there's many. Names. Well, this is how exciting is it to see your book? Do you want to hold it while we talk about it? Like to have it in your hands?
You want me to hold it so I don't pound on the table?
Is that right? Yes. Yeah. No.
So the book, just briefly, is about growing up in Ann Arbor. It's the years 1963 to 1977 when I left for college, and so it's a great time period. And we talked about the music, and so I. A lot of this is about, it's short essays about things in town. There's nothing really profound about it. It's short things, and it's primarily about the interactions that you have with people that they seem small, but in hindsight, they really change the entire trajectory of your life. And so in small and big ways, the influences that people... They might be kids in your class. They might be a teacher. They might be a cashier at Middle Earth. They might be the cashiers at Discount Records,
or at Drake's,
Things that in hindsight you realize were really important to
community
you.
Community is so important, isn't it?
It is, and that's what the book is about.
And how long have you been writing the book? Is this something that you've been writing over some years, or did you sit down and think about creating a collection of short essays?
So it started out where I wrote just some memories on a internet site for people who grew up in Ann Arbor. And so I would write about bargain days where in the art fair where you could get all your clothes. And I posted these things and people liked it. And so then I said, well, you know, maybe I'll do a collection of these things. And then during COVID, of course, you have a lot more time. And it was a way to deal with, you know, sort of a solace to write about the past during COVID. And so it took me about 5 years to write it for such a thin volume. It's about 45 pages a year at averages. And
no one's looking at those kind of numbers. You've got a book in the world, Stephen.
Yeah, but I'm a numbers person, so okay. I think about those things. So it took a while, and then I realized I could weave it together in this way through music and through other things. My book launch last week was, I have a chapter about the Ark in Ann Arbor, the famous music venue, and they were really great, Marianne James there, to allow me to do my book launch there. And it was meaningful because I have a chapter about the origins of the Ark, and my father was one of the people who helped found it, and he helped name it. And so he was there at the reading, and that was really very meaningful. But the chapter is about the first Michigan Daily Review of the Ark, where the snarky Michigan Daily writers said this thing isn't going to last for 40 days or 40 nights. You know, it's going to be beached soon. And 60 years later, she turns out to be completely wrong.
That's always such a good stroke of luck. Like if someone said, thank you, Stephen, for telling us that story. And congratulations on what a wonderful thing to have the launch in.
That was 1965, and the essay is about my father coming home. My father was a pastor right on campus, and coming home reading the Michigan Daily thing, and I won't say on air what he actually said, but people might be very surprised. He was very disgusted by this, and everybody saw that, and they just even worked harder. And of course, the Ark and the Siglins, and it was just such a great thing for the community. Speaking of arts in the community, so it was nice to write about that.
Oh, yes, Thea, for Cluster, did anyone write a damning article on Cluster?
Ooh, not yet.
Maybe we should get one in the works.
I know.
It's a sign. It might help. It's a good omen.
I feel like it would be.
Yes.
It's not going to last 40 days or 30
Yeah, the people would be curious just to see what the disaster is. Maybe, I don't know.
But Cluster, like let's talk about Cluster, because in the summer, as it was still as an idea and people talking about it and believing in it and wanting it to come into fruition, this group of artists and welcoming of all artists of all different kinds, like from painters to writers to multimodal, like any kind of art. I should let you do this part, Thea.
Oh,
I
no,
think
that's
really
okay.
but it's incredible to me that you moved it from this idea, this like shining, you know, like hope in a time where things were kind of despairing too, into being a built space, like a place that can people can see and can become, go and be part of.
It's so funny, like hearing both of you talk about collaboration and partnerships and this mentorship. Like I feel like myself and my two other co-founders have really taken cues from what the library is doing, from what Fifth Avenue Press is doing, from the events that that the library hosts, how they partner and collaborate, and there's a team of people, and it's just such a well-working thing in our community. And, you know, taking that and putting it in the context then of the contemporary arts, we really were like, how can we do this in the contemporary arts and work with writers and work with visual artists who are here in our community? Because there's so many different art communities here in Ann Arbor and IPSY. And, you know, they've fluctuated over the years of what they look like, all the different kind of pocket communities. And I guess a few of us really felt like there was a shrinking recently in the last couple years of access to artists to have places to show, to interact with, to sell, to meet each other and commune. The way that we see people at the library, right, coming and communing and running. Like, I can't get over every event I go to at the library. I run into everyone. Like, I run into people that I don't necessarily get to see all the time, but I see them there. You know, and we're always like, oh, we'll have to, you know, text and meet up and plan. And we never do because life is busy. But
you'll know you'll meet them again.
I'll meet them. I'll meet them. Yeah.
We're a cluster now.
Well, that's the thing. It's like trying to create this space then that, you know, that is a community, you know, where people can come and see art, experience art. They themselves can show their work as Yeah, I it, yeah, many. I just lost my train of thought. But
because it's a built space, so it gives you like this sense of like a place where people can return to.
Yeah.
But also, you've got the walls. You've got, you know, the sound system.
Well, so that was the thing, like figuring this out for years. I think my husband and I and some friends who were in the arts and you know, seeing how Ann Arbor had lost some of these spaces and realizing that, oh, there's just a few left. And so how can we rebuild this system that maybe we're just one more, but we need like 3 and 4 and 5 more versions of us to host, you know, to host like, so we host, our mission is more aimed at presenting mid-career and advanced career contemporary artists. So I use the term contemporary because there are different communities here in Ann Arbor. And I think the space that we have, it's more artists that are asking, you know, questions of themselves, questions of their place in the universe, maybe having existential crisis about their place in the universe, looking at art history and really trying to figure out how their work fits into art history and was really kind of pushing up against what the definitions of art can be in our community. And a lot of them are artists that never have shown here because there maybe isn't. They're at a career level where there hasn't been a space here for them to show their work because of their career level. So they're going to Chicago, New York, L.A., even Cincinnati, even Ohio, like, right? So they're going to these other Midwestern cities to show, but not here. So we're trying to, right, have a space that this space is curated. So they're thematic shows. And then within those thematic shows, the visual art component of it, then doing the literary art component of it, right?
Collaborative experiences where the artists will not necessarily be working together on the theme, but their individual works will be united in the space and in the moment that you're creating for for this event and for this show. So
the same way you would think, like at the library, you go there, and I even think about, I feel like the Secret Lab has this, right? So there might be the expo going on the ground floor, but in the basement of the Secret Lab, they have like a hands-on workshop that's either of the materials or the themes or, you know, there's something hands-on to do. And so if we kind of flip that, well, we have the artwork in the space and then we bring in writers for an author event and then we bring in some artists to run workshops, maybe not the artists that are showing, but other, like my other co-founder, Kim DeBoard, she taught some workshops. She's going to be teaching workshops so she can come in. She's good at so many different materials. She can come in and teach a workshop based on maybe the material or the theme. And these are, you know, low fee workshops, materials provided. You don't need to already know how to do the thing, right? A lot of them are just assuming that you are a beginner or maybe, you know, beginner intermediate.
Or maybe you do like another kind of art, but you'd like to try this art as well.
Absolutely.
And building the community in that way.
Yeah.
Thea, this is so wonderful to hear about because it's, I feel like cluster is something that is growing as well. Mm-hmm. Like it feels like when I was trying to get my head around it, thinking about talking with you today too, it feels like cluster is like a movement. If you go to the website, clustermuseum.org, you can see your mission and vision there. Mm-hmm. Would you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So I know you've referenced kind of this, you know, we have cluster as a group and then the cluster physical space, but it really did start with the idea of cluster. And the term cluster I kind of came to through astronomy, really. So it's in reference of star clusters. And oh gosh, I wish I had my notes in front of me now, but there's different types of star clusters. And this one type is, it has a lot of old stars in it, and they're held together through gravitational pull. And younger stars might come into that cluster and stay a while, but the pull isn't as strong as these older stars that are held together. So the younger stars kind of come in, and then they might leave. I mean, I'm assuming this happens over millions of years, right? And then, as I feel like all astronomy stuff happens, and then, but they all these younger stars that leave have residue
of the community,
and I love that idea that, you know, I'm here. I'm middle-aged. This is my home for now. I wasn't born here, but, you know, moved here for grad school, moved away, came back. My family's here. You know, a lot of my co-founders are like that, too. They were, you know, Chen An, Yuan and Kim DeBoard. You know, they're here for family. They're from elsewhere. Their kids are here. They raise their kids here. We're all here momentarily and building this bond, and we're all kind of middle aged. But the hope is that younger folks coming out of STAMS, coming out of EMU, and, you know, younger people maybe coming that went to school elsewhere and coming back to Ann Arbor,
Detroit,
you know, starting their kind of art careers, we'll provide them touch points. Somehow, you know, we're still examining what that looks like, but they'll have touch points and then they too will go on, or they'll stay and will then go on and we'll pass it. So we really do want this thing, thinking about the arc and that longevity. You know, I look around Ann Arbor and I'm trying to find, I mean, the university is so vibrant with the arts and I love it. And I love UMA. I love what they've been doing the last couple of years. I love the STAMS program, bringing in these just amazing international artists. It's here, like every week. And so, but what do we have on the town side? You know, what do we have? And if we are on the town side,
because we have a lot.
We have a lot. And so how do we become, in the visual art world, you know, what the ARC has done over the years, which if we're calling Ann Arbor a city, which, right, we are, with all the building and the population growth. And so cities need museums. And so the hope is that that cluster, which is small now, but give us some time, we'll grow into a contemporary art museum, and that we'll have a contemporary art space that is bringing in, that is not just focused on our Washtenaw County ecosystem, Southeast Michigan ecosystem, but we are bringing in these national artists to have conversation, because what the artists are doing here, well, what are artists doing in Chicago and LA and New York and these other big hubs for art, bringing them here and having that art historical conversation, putting the work into context, because that's what helps us get educated about arts and culture, you know, having the arts, not just a smaller conversation, but that having this larger conversation between the themes, between mediums. Yeah.
And Thea, you mentioned you would also imagine as part of this growth. So now I can see how Cluster Museum might be getting bigger, like have a bigger built space at some point to be more the contemporary museum of art.
Yeah.
And, but then you also mentioned you would love if there were other locations. Like when you said it, I imagined other potential built spaces in Ann Arbor.
And not necessarily attached to Cluster. Like other, and that's where we, I feel really fortunate to have, like we got really fortunate with our lease. And so that's where, I don't know if it's a city intervention or landlord, like building owners, we got really lucky with our space, with our building owner, and what the building owner was able to work with us and provide us. We have a short lease.
You don't hear about that a lot.
Never.
Okay.
Never. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm like, so, this is amazing. Yeah. And maybe in part, it was also you making your own luck.
It was
your
absolutely
doggedness.
Luck. Yes. It was luck. No. It really was luck. Because I think we have a 1 year lease with potential of 2, but within 3 or 4 years, our block is being redeveloped. So,
Of course.
I mean, but we need growth. We do. We need housing.
Maybe
I won't debate what that looks like.
Maybe
but
you could be part of that growth. Like maybe it's something about the museum is like part of the city structure already, the city imagination.
Yeah.
And so you build a building that can house the museum within it.
Yeah.
Or so
that's a possibility.
And so it could remain on North Main Street.
It'd be great if it did.
Because it's very.
We need. Things need to remain downtown. And right now, the artists, I think studios are being pushed out to the edges. And my husband ran a space right downtown for a decade. And during COVID, we had to close it as a lot of people had to leave and stuff their spaces. But I mean, he ran the space for 10 years. He had architects. He had videographers. He had textile artists, photographers. I'm just trying to think of all the people, all the artists that came through that were either here because their partners were doing postdocs at the university, or they themselves had jobs, or they were coming back for family. But it was an amazing group that came through that studio space, and it was right downtown, and it was a really magical time, I feel like. And
that was more of a workspace, not there as a gallery or a show.
No,
space.
Straight studios, so. Workspace studios. Yeah. And next door, that's how we met one of our best friends. He was taught piano lessons and is a composer. Next to our space was an older British man that made, who's a woodworker that made all the pizza peels for, Domino's. So, I mean, it was, my husband was his tech support person, I think most of
And that is wonderful to have a space that's big enough and affordable enough for people to have small spaces or medium sized spaces or large spaces, whatever the art or making requires next to each other. So those kind of relationships and synergies can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be great. Well, Cluster Museum is like it's a visible presence on the horizon of Ann Arbor. We can see it. And now I believe it's gone from like flat bright white to pink. Is this right?
The exterior? Is magenta. So okay. I'll say.
So you can't miss it.
So you can't. Well, right now it got a little cold for me to paint the upper portion around our sign. But hopefully here, if we have a somewhat warmer day, I'll get to the top portion of our building to paint that part magenta too.
And are you also looking for volunteers to join in to be part of the built space and making the space into what it can be?
Not volunteers right yet. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're looking to, right now we're looking at next year. We're looking to build out kind of we have our kind of exhibitions in place. We have some guest curators that are coming in that I'm really excited about. We're partnering with the film festival, the Ann Arbor Film Festival in March. So shout out to them. We're partnering. There's another artist space in Ipsy called Sometime Space.
Yes.
And so
a great space.
I'm trying to think of Nate's last name. Oh, I'm sorry.
But also connected to Penny Stamps.
He's adjunct to Penny Stamps teaching. And so he's going to be curating our April show. Our other co-founder, Chen, is curating out our May show. That's going to be pretty awesome. And then we're partnering with the library for June. I don't know if you know this, Aaron, but working with the library for A2CAF. And hosting.
I wondered about that.
Yeah, hosting a show for the A2 Comic Arts Festival.
Great.
Yeah, it'll be great. Definitely. And that's the other thing is my kids are gallery kids. Like I have a 12-year-old and a 6-year-old, and they've grown up in the arts. They've grown up going into galleries, be dragged around Detroit, getting in and out of the car to see artwork, and being in their dad's studio making art. And seeing us be immersed. And so Cluster is for families. Like, I can't say that enough. Like, our inaugural opening was October 3rd, and it was awesome to see kids on the sidewalk doing chalk drawings all evening, kids inside, eating all the snacks we had. I mean, it was, but also really engaged. We have, when you come to Cluster, we have a kids guide that kids can use to walk around the space, look at the work, and fill it out. It's about 6 pages. Right when you walk in the space, we have a drawing table. So if your kid, you know, if you want to look at the art as a parent, your kid can hang out and draw.
And the guides will change with each of the installations?
It'll change about every 2 months. Just we got to make it manageable. Yeah. So,
but how wonderful to be mm-hmm. thinking like fully about the experience of coming into the place mm-hmm. and who could be coming in and feeling welcome and part of it.
Yeah. Because we do. We want it to be a welcoming place because galleries are scary. Who just randomly walks into an art gallery? Not many people, unless you're in the arts or you're a tourist in a city and you're walking down the street and you're like, oh, what's this?
Some galleries don't want you to come in.
Well,
that's like the feeling of it, at least in New York City, unless they can see your pocketbook from your exterior.
Or they ignore you because they are really busy. Some of those galleries in New York, they're just really busy. They can't welcome every person.
But that's why this is Cluster Museum.
Yeah.
Not a gallery.
Yes. Yeah. So we have a couple different components to the space. We do have, when you walk in the space, it is divided because it used to be a dance studio. Mm. So it was, I want to say Ann Arbor Dance, but Classic Ballet. I can't remember. Ooh. I should know what the name of it was. But so the space was already kind of sectioned out when we took over the lease. But you walk in and we represent about 5 artists in the space. Amy Sachstetter is an EMU professor. Ingrid Ankerson is a WCC graphic design professor. Hannah Burr is a professional artist. Who am I? Mia Reisberg is a professional artist. Mashline, professional artist. So, right now, we represent those artists. We're hope to kind of anyone can come in and purchase that work, and then we have a few art supplies, not many because it's a small front area, and then there's the main gallery that has the rotating shows. So we are hoping we're kind of building our artist portfolios and are wanting to do art placement. Because there's not really any businesses in Ann Arbor that do art placement.
So when you say art placement, would that mean approaching businesses and saying, mm-hmm. would you like to have one of our people's works to hang in your
lobby? Yeah.
By your
front desk. Exactly. So if you think about, like, you walk into hotels or especially down, you know, nicer hotels where they might have a statement piece in the lobby. Maybe it's more sculptural, public art feeling, or maybe it's something on the wall, but or in the elevator lobby there might be artwork. Or who really gets it well is our hospitals. U of M Hospital has a beautiful art collection, and I cannot commend them enough in terms of going in that building and seeing beautiful artwork that's framed well, that's presented, lit really well.
It is. It's like one of, I mean, you don't really want to be at the hospital, but if you are there, it's soothing to see something beautiful.
Yeah.
Thea, before, because I want to get back to the book, the community book fest coming back, but you also have a big event, you've got a couple events coming up. Yeah. The Fall of Freedom.
Yeah.
I definitely wanted you to say a few words, and if there's still a call for that, for people to be part of that at Cluster.
We are now at capacity for that.
That's great.
Yeah. So Fall of Freedom is a nationwide creative arts resistant protest weekend, November 21st and 22nd. So if you go, it's at a group out of New York City. So if you go to fallofreedom.org, I think, or .com.
But you'll find it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fall of Freedom. Just Google it. It's a nationwide thing. So they put a call out to artists, museums, galleries, performance groups. And so it all is coming together very, very quickly.
Like a whoosh.
Yeah. So we have some drop-in workshops Friday that you just are free. You just come, you get to do some silk screening, some printing on stickers. Friday evening, the 21st, we have Dance Uprising, which is a performance dance group out of Ann Arbor. And well, I think they're regional. But their founder is here in Ann Arbor. And so we're hosting them along with some doing three different performances or pieces that evening, along with some poets in between. Then Saturday, we have an LGBTQ plus collage workshop with Cam Finch.
Cam, friend of the show.
So Cam runs Poetry Town and is such a community activist. And
we'll also be curating a reading coming up with poets.
Yes.
Well.
So, Cam Finch and Aaron as well. So Aaron is curating in December, our December author events. Just trying to pull in people. Saturday we have Cam's workshop, and then my other co-founder Kim DeBord is teaching a bookbinding workshop, and then I feel like I'm forgetting something. I think there's also another writing workshop. It's on our website.
Yes, go to clustermuseum.org and you can find, and Fall of Freedom, national movement.
Yeah.
And anyone can be part of it. You can intersect with it at Cluster Museum with Thea and crew, or you can make your own activisms in your own way, in your own artistic way. Mm-hmm. Erin, so the Community Book Fest is this Sunday. What are you like excited about? Is it the drawing the people in for the readings? Because there's going to be many vendors that are set up in the open lobby, lobbatorium.
Yeah. We're looking forward to all of the above. So this year we have our keynote author is going to be at 10:30, Kay Ming Cheng. She
looks
incredible.
So exciting.
She's very young and has, and like five books that have just come out, like one after the other, in the last 5 years. So her most recent book was Bestiary, but she also wrote Gods of Want, Organ Meats, and Cecilia. And
I love how she says, she's like full on, my work is for freaks. Come one, come all.
Yes. No, it's definitely a little bit more unusual. And
hooray.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing what kind of audience she brings in.
My daughter, who's 34 years old and a bibliophile, said, Dad, she's a really big deal. You have to
understand. Yeah. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. I'm glad to hear it. Because I'm not going to lie, we had a little bit of a kerfuffle with our headliner, which, good and bad. Like, Katie Kitamura was supposed to come.
Oh, yes.
And then she couldn't come because she got shortlisted for the Booker. So she had to be in London. However, we have secured her for next year.
Wonderful.
So for the
friend
folks
of the
who
show.
Are disappointed, but you mentioned the vendor floor. And so the vendor floor is made up of a really good assortment of lots of local authors and local organizations that, you know, might be literacy adjacent. And then also folks who are selling crafts and handmade wares that are paper, book, you know, inspired. So a real good mix of all kinds of things. And then Thea had mentioned before, like, how we always have different things going on during our expos. And so we will have a preschool story time, because this is a family-oriented event, and that'll be in the morning. Then hands-on, we have vintage book cover magnets from 2 to 3. I'm very excited about this. Brandy Larson is actually she's not local, but she lives down outside of Cleveland, and we've had her come and been doing She, in fact, discovered us the first year and like reached out cold to the library in 23 and was like, hey, can I be part of your book fest? So she's doing a program that she's done a couple times called Writing Group Matchmaking, where she uses her world of improv and has folks jump from table to table based on maybe do they want to meet virtually? Do they want to work with someone who's professional? Like they kind
to
of
find a book club.
Subdivide themselves. Because as we know, that's one of the hardest things. You know, book clubs, book groups are very hard to get into, writing groups. And then, of course, one of the biggest highlights is from 1 to 2 is then we always have our Fifth Avenue book reception. So we're celebrating the 5 books that are coming out this year.
And Stephen will be part of that.
Yes. And so each of our authors get to read and talk for 10 minutes. And then we have everyone come upstairs back onto the lobby floor to sell and sign. And so we'll be selling, you know, the new books and some past productions as well at the Fifth Avenue Press table.
Oh, this is so exciting. Thank you all for being here
today.
I
have my materials ready to go.
You're ready? You're
excellent.
Ready.
Yep.
Thanks for being part of our Ann Arbor community. And thanks for today being part of the WCBN community too, and doing the work that you do and caring about the place where we are, as well as the world. So please keep on keeping on, all of you.
Thanks.
It's such good work, because it's definitely, I can tell it's coming from the heart. And anyway, so thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Dee. This was great.
Come back in.
Amazing.
It was fun to be with Aaron from the library.
Yes.
Yeah, it feels like a perfect matchup. Yeah.
Some good matchmaking happened today with all three of you here. And thanks to Jason behind the glass. And for updating, I might say, if you want to go to the Living Writers website, it's looking lively again, all thanks to Jason Voss. Thanks to my guests today, Aaron Helmrich, Stephen Postema, Thea Eck from Cluster and Cluster Museum. The Ann Arbor Community Book Fest is this Sunday, folks. I'm T. Hetzel. Thanks for listening out there, each and every one of you, for being part of our community. And thanks for listening, Mom, too. Okay, until next time.
Take care.
Satellite's gone.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
Like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. I like to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite of love. Satellite's gone way up to Mars. Soon it'll be filled with park and cars. I watched it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. Satellite of love. You've been bold with Harry, Mark, and John. Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday through Thursday with Harry, Mark, and John. Satellite's gone up to the skies. Things like that drive.
About my good cocaine.
Now, brothers and sisters, I'm troubled to say.
My blackbirds are bluebirds now.
WCBN FM Ann Arbor, the home
form of freeform, the indiscriminating listener's choice in the belly of the beast. And now, some more Ben Webster.
Yo, I could swallow the sea. I could hold my breath and count to a zillion.
I can fly.
I can stretch.
Okay. Hello, good evening. Bit of technical difficulties, start of the show, but welcome back. Another episode of Daily Sports Talk. I'm your host, Paul. Got a pretty good panel with us today, and this is our first time talking Michigan basketball. Now, I think most of us were at the game. We'll go around real quick. And just share our thoughts on how we think the game went and expectations.
Yeah, I think that really all the expectations were like just shattered within minutes and exceeded. Mm. It was a very strong and fast start for the Wolverines, putting up one of the records. I think a record 69 points at the half.
Program record.
Yeah, that's pretty good, pretty awesome start, I would say.
Wait, am I good audio wise?
Yeah.
Okay,
it's all good. It's all good now. It's all